I'm Ronnie, alongside my amazing co-host Shelby. We're here to keep it real, share our journey, and break down the barriers of imperfection.
We're two business owners flying by the seat of our pants, showing you progress is always more important than perfection.
Whether you're just starting out or looking to take your business to the next level, we've got tips, tricks, and hold my beer moments to get you there.
So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and join us as we navigate the ups and downs of entrepreneurship.
Today, we're diving into the art of drawing people into your shop, literally. Your storefront is more than just a door, it's an invitation. From eye-catching window displays to clever sandwich boards and welcoming flags, we'll be talking about all the ways you can make your store impossible to pass by. So grab your favorite brew and let's chat about how to make your storefront stand out on the busiest of streets. Shelby, your store is such a unique way of catching people's attention as they walk by. What were some of the first things you considered when planning out your storefront? How did you make the most of the space you have?
The way our layout is, there's no inlet nook
for your
area
windows.
For our windows. So I got shelving, shallow shelving, so then that way it was closer to the windowsill itself. And then I kind of used that to prop and boost certain things. And then I also have hanging plant stands too. So I got those right into the wooden overhead just to kind of secure.
Inside
the window, but inside, everything's inside. It was a way to secure so that way you can have heavy stuff on there.
Yeah.
So it could host the actual stand, and then you could put a ceramic planter and know that it was going to be good. Our windows get heavy sun in the morning. So then that's something I learned. We had sun bleaching on certain things.
Yeah,
so then
you put books in the window.
Right, books. Yeah, so we had to plan accordingly for that. So we quickly learned they do make films that you can put on windows. It depends how much.
UV
restrictive. Yep, to try to help tame that down. But then that's something that we just plan accordingly for. Yeah, so Lindsay and I share a space. She is another small business located in the same building. So you open the front door. We're kind of split in half. She's got a small shop on her side. I have one on my side. So if the books are in the window and then they get a little sun scorched, Lindsay offers a discount for her books. So I've learned the hard way. I put chapsticks and stuff in the summertime towards the front of the shop. And then I quickly was like, oh no, that's not going to work.
No.
So I lost a couple chapsticks over it. But
And for us, I've learned to add a mini budget. Or if I'm going to make a window display, because we have the same issue in the afternoons of fading, I'll put a budget forward to say, okay, I'm already expecting these items are going to be at a loss because they're very likely going to fade. And I can also sell them at a discount if somebody wants to, but I kind of think about it as it's a loss item
at that point. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to use that as part of my marketing budget because it's not going to be in pristine condition coming out of that window in a month. And Shelby, speaking of things fading, I know you've had some interesting experiences with how sunlight affects the packaging on certain products. How do you handle it when you notice items changing color in the window display?
So we had mossy poles. Mm-hmm. I sell plants. Well, the mossy poles had these bright, bright pink labels on them, which was fine because they just slowly over time sun faded. They're still very nice pink, a shade of pink. They're just a little different. Nobody knows otherwise or cares. And then you take them off. You're going to remove that anyway, and you're just going to toss that in the trash. So that's something where people don't care if it does look different. And then the other thing, I think if people, you're thinking about foot traffic. So you're thinking about people who haven't been into your shop necessarily yet. Mm-hmm. So outside looking in, I always feel it good to kind of streamline and curate a small version of what your shop would be.
Yeah.
So you see what products are available, what the taste, what the style is, what the aesthetic is, what products you're offering. So it's clear when you're walking by. And if you happen to be closed or if it's after hours, then that gives more incentive for the person to be like, oh, I need to be in there. I need to check that shop out.
What I've done to get those people who might walk by your window display and be like, oh, I want to come check it out, but you're closed. I have a QR code on our window. And when people scan that QR code, it's directed to a specific category on my website that has all the items in the window. So that way they scan it. They go, oh, I liked that stuffed animal or that pillow that was in the window. Yep. I want to buy it. Now they can. They can order it right there instead of having to say it's a missed sale.
Right. Yep. I think that's important. So we have two. I made one sheet of paper, but it had two QR codes. One was for social media. One was to my direct website. For instance, there's so many service providers on the main block here where people are on their way to an appointment. They have a dentist appointment. Yep. They have a hair appointment. They have something that they're on their way to. They can't stop. But then at the same time, when you're in the waiting room, yep, or you want to know more after you get into where you got to go, then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Now I have 15 minutes while I'm waiting for the doctor to come in or my dentist to show up. And then I can circle back
and check that shop out online. Check that. Yeah. Until I can get in there myself.
Yep.
But you're totally right. Whatever you put in your window should reflect your shop. Mm-hmm. Right now, I have a back to school window and I've got a summer window because I'm luckily have two kind of deep windows where I have the room to have tables that are specifically to do displays. But I make sure that all the products that are in the window, like for my back to school window, I have some products that are kids t-shirts that we carry that say ABCs. I've got some stuffed animals that look like they're going off to school. I also got a custom extra large pencil that says my country story on it because, you know, you want something to make people stop and go, what is that? So for me, I like to be a little playful. You know, my husband made this really cute rainbowed banner out of felt. It didn't cost a lot. It took maybe 45 minutes to make. But I've had multiple people saying,
where can I get that?
Where can I get that? I'm like, well, my husband's not going to make another one. But
right.
It made them stop and look at my window.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cute. And then we also have these really inexpensive, I got online, I think at Oriental Trading, apples. You will not believe how many people pick them up and think they're real.
Real.
I would not put real apples in my window.
Yep. They won't last long if you do that.
No.
Nope. Yep.
No, but when people look in the window, they see, okay, this is the aesthetic that this story carries, but it's still a themed window.
Yep.
So just because you have a certain aesthetic doesn't mean you can't talk about, in a way, whatever the seasonality is at the mm-hmm. moment. So if you want a summer window, do a summer window. Choose a color palette, but something big that draws people in. We currently don't carry women's apparel anymore, but I have a mannequin that's wearing this cute little summer dress. So that they can envision themselves around all of these products. You
warm
know,
weather, you have clothes. It's just showing all of the options of all of the volume of things that you carry.
Yeah. And I will say a mannequin is a really good investment. I know they can be expensive. You can find some on Marketplace for other shops that are closing nearby, or there's a bunch of websites you can go to. We can list some in our show notes, but a mannequin takes up a lot of space. And that's a really important thing when creating a window display is making sure that you're filling your space. So I would highly recommend that for anybody, even if you don't carry clothing, to make sure that whatever they're wearing kind of reflects the shop that you have, if you have the space for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very fortunate with my deep windows.
Like you said before in our previous episode on how you get rough outlines on displays where you will start, sometimes you have a rough idea and you'll start with, okay, I have the mannequin, so I have this tall piece and then I can put like a medium size shape, something next to it, kind of put something in the middle to balance out the two in the overall frame of what you're trying to design.
Yeah. And I would say anyone who's looking to create an impactful window display, start collecting basic pieces. Mm-hmm. So I have a bench that I can regularly use or get baskets. Fake florals are really good if that fits your aesthetic. Neutral tones to throw into your windows to fill in gaps so your window doesn't look bare. Banners, that's really an inexpensive way. So even like crepe paper, you know, those that ones that you unroll.
Yeah. Yep.
Just ways to have color in your window and to be able to fill your space. Because if you just put product in there, what I found, at least for me, because I have such large windows, is it feels pretty empty. And mm-hmm. I don't want it to feel empty. I want people to walk by and go, oh, I want to see this and this and this and this without having to put so much product into your window. I mean, you'll see from the big brands, a lot of times what they do is they highlight one product. I mean, this is really like a big, big brand, yeah, like Louis Vuitton. They'll take one product and make a whole window display behind it. You know, whether it's April and they're doing showers, so they've got this big rain scene and there's just like one bag in the middle.
Yeah.
You can do things like that, and you can do it inexpensively if you can get creative with construction paper.
Oh, yeah.
There's printing companies out there that you can get large banners. If you know one locally, a printing company, they can help you print papers so that you can have a backdrop and then use that, you know, as your big statement piece to draw people in and then get them excited.
Yeah. No, I think that's where the creative juices can flow. There's just so many different ways. There's backgrounds. You can make your own background. You could order your own like sheet paper type background. And then there's so many different ways to get inspiration too. So you can hop on Pinterest. You can also mm-hmm. be like, what do I have in my craft closet? You yep. could get right down to, hey, let's do this, or scrapbook, I'm going to bring this paper out. Or use what you have. You don't need to necessarily go out and reinvent the wheel and have this huge budget. With vintage, I try to find unique props and displays. So I'm finding them everywhere I go. I have like a whole display shelf of just props.
Yep.
And I would just slowly, not spend a lot of money, but just here and there. If I found something, a unique wooden bowl to display certain things, where I'd be like, oh, that would be great for smalls, that would be great for a little bit bigger products, this is a tiered thing here, and then I can kind of plug and play different things to kind of curate yeah. the design. And oh, I don't like this, well, I'll just change this over here, or what if I move this over here? And then it gets exciting, then your creative juices are like, oh no, this is, you're excited to also market the product behind what you're doing because you're using your creativity in other ways.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, for us locally, one shop that I always love to check out their windows is Gus and Ruby. They have three shops, one in Boston, one in Portland, Maine, and one in Portsmouth, but they are always getting super creative with their windows. Like, and they're crafty. They are super crafty. Like, they've done large pinwheels in their windows before. They did a huge bumblebee scene in Boston one year. A lot of it is them taking paper and painting it, or pumpkins, like mm-hmm. fake pumpkins, and painting them and using those elements to create a theme for their window and then tucking their products in between. But they're filling their large windows. And I think if you can make someone walking by stop and go, oh, what is that? Mm-hmm. Even if it's not about your product, it's about whatever your window display is. Mm-hmm. That is a great way to introduce yourself to a new customer and get them in the door to say, I want to see what else is in there.
Yep. And I think for even to tie in our community feel together, we had a local organization reach out because they were painting flowers mm-hmm. on the windows. So that was something that it brought the community together. People were coming into town to see all the fun decorated windows in the shops. And then that was a way that you're collabing, the local artists feel supported.
Yep.
The community feels supported because they feel like it's something exciting to do. And then it does. It brings a little sparkle to you and your business. And then they're like, oh, what else is in there?
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to just be your windows, because not everybody has epic windows to mm-hmm. fill. You know, it can be, we put a flag out every morning mm-hmm. to make sure people know we're here. Your flag could be part of that draw. Mm-hmm. My neighbors always have a sort of floating wind, what would you call that?
Yeah, a little Tasmanian spinning dealy, a doily.
Yeah, like I don't know, like, but it catches your eye because it gets caught in the wind. But she puts that out every morning, and you go, oh,
yep,
they're open.
Yep.
And then another thing you can do is, if your downtown allows for it, is sandwich boards. And I, for the longest time, was handwriting all of mine. And then I would cry every time it would rain because it would drip.
Oh, and everything would get ruined.
Everything would get ruined.
All your hard work.
Exactly. But what I ended up doing was I partnered with a local printer and I got Coroplast, the right size to just fit in there, and printed.
Oh.
So that I just Velcroed it onto my sandwich board, and then I can pull out the whole sign. But if it rains, it doesn't matter. It doesn't get ruined.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But then you can put funny sayings on it. And
yep.
I think if you can draw people in, you see that sometimes at coffee shops where they've got quirky quirky words or phrases.
Yep. Or yeah, solve this, fill in the blank, or yeah, decode what this would be. That's a fun way. And I know some towns have restrictions on where you can put things, how far away, if they're in the sidewalk. Even our landlord, we have condos above our building, our storefront. And we just had like pretty much a facelift happen before we moved in and took over the lease in the bottom half. But a lot of the residents did not want us to have a flag or a flagpole on our actual building itself. And I was like, let's bob and weave. What can we do? What can we get away with? Well, while we're open, we're able, during our shop hours, able to put anything we want for the most part, as long as it's not restrictive on the sidewalk down there.
It's budding the
building. So that's what I had to, we had to pivot. And I found one that was a standalone. It's on a wheel base. Mm-hmm. And while our shop is open, I wheel it out. It's got sand in the bottom so it doesn't blow away. So it's like its own standalone post that won't go anywhere, but that's what we had to do because we couldn't have one mounted to the brick wall. So it's kind of, you gotta kind of bob and weave with what you're able to do, but at the same time don't be discouraged, and there's usually a way around to get what you want while still being respectful.
And there's hundreds of ways to get creative. So, I mean, you shouldn't feel like someone says, oh, you can't have a sandwich board out and then that's the end of it. Like, no, what else can you do?
Yeah.
You know, are you allowed to have a sign that illuminates? Are you allowed to have chalk on your sidewalk, mm-hmm. you know, in the summertime to draw arrows that says, come on in here? What does your downtown allow? And that's a really easy question that you can go ask your city officials mm-hmm. and say, I'm looking to make sure my business stands out. What am I allowed to do? Mm-hmm. So like Shelby just said, we can't put anything in the way of pedestrians, but we are very fortunate to work with a Dover beautification group, Dover Doers, who make sure we all get plants on the outside of our business.
Yep.
You know, I don't have a green thumb. I won't keep it alive. Yeah. But there's a group of volunteers that want to make downtown beautiful. We've partnered with them. And they make sure that you've got beautiful plants out front. And it, one, makes downtown look pretty. But two, makes people stop to say, ooh, that business looks cute. Let me go inside.
Yep, it adds to it all. Yeah,
exactly. So you can get creative with plants. You can get creative with flags. You can get creative with sandwich boards, your window display. And we would love to hear if anyone else has any ideas. Feel free to comment on our Instagram post when we share about this episode. What are you doing to draw people into your business? You know, what creative ways can you get people into your shop?
Mm-hmm. The other thing I would think of is the hours, because we were two small retail businesses in one location and our hours weren't set in stone at first. When we first moved in, it was almost the pressure to get the set hours we're going to be. But from summer to winter hours, our hours differ. So we ended up adding a day versus dropping a day. So then instead of having a company or putting all of that money out there, we have a very nice, it looks very professional, but it's like a two-way thing on our front door that's hung with the little suction cups.
Yep.
And then it's a nice printed sign. We're able to flip it. If for ever what reason something comes up, we put a little sign, here we are, or sorry, we missed you, or when we'll be back type of thing. So that also alleviated that I need to have this, what I'm going to do, set in stone there. Because sometimes it differs.
Life happens. Sometimes your kids get sick.
You might have to go pick up a sick kid
at
school.
Or an employee gets sick.
Yep,
and
exactly.
There's nobody there for coverage.
Yep.
You want to be able to have a way to communicate, what are our hours? And I don't know about you, Shelby, but for mine, I've changed my hours over the years.
Yeah.
And so I always make sure I do vinyl, which is more permanent, on my logo on the windows. I don't do it for my hours, knowing that can change. So my hours right now is a peel and stick window clean.
Oh,
and if
okay.
I need to change it, I can. Or if I want to have a printed paper one, I can tape it in the window nicely too. You know, there's ways to get around that, being a small business, knowing mm-hmm. that my life isn't as perfect as Target hours or Walmart hours.
Right.
That things happen, life comes up, and most of the time your customers will understand, but you want consistency. So you do want those store hours there to communicate that, but you need to put them on your door in a way that if they are going to change, you have a clear way to indicate what your hours are. I could talk about window displays all day long. I love them. I love seeing what other people are doing to draw people into their window fronts. I go on Pinterest a lot and check that out for inspiration. I'm part of a bunch of Facebook groups that are business owners across the U.S., just seeing what other people are doing. So I think if you can draw people into your business just by your outside, that's a huge draw. You got to make sure that your signage is clear, who you are and what you offer is clear, and that you want to tease them. You want to draw them in with a little teaser and say, come on in, let's see what else we've got.
There's nothing worse. You're thinking like, right, mid-century moderns out in the front, and you go back and it's like shabby chic, totally doily, all yeah, of the above, totally lacy, different. And you're like, I've been bamboozled. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been tricked and to get in there.
And you won't recommend them to people because they weren't honest.
So that's when it's like, stick to your true guns.
Yep. What's
when
your
it
brand
comes
identity?
To what your brand identity is.
Exactly. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Brewed Business. We hope you've gathered some inspiration on how to make your storefront, your booth, wherever you're selling, a true magnet for your customers. Remember, your shop's exterior is often the first impression you give, so make it count. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Brewed Business Podcast for more tips and behind-the-scenes content. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, keep brewing up success.
See ya!